In today's video, I've got my 34 must-know tips and tricks for the DJI Mini 4 Pro. Hello, beautiful internet family. My name is Dan Davis, and I'm the creative director here on DansTube.tv, which is Australia's number one ranked drone YouTube channel. I'm also the course creator over on the Fearless Drone Academy, which is the ultimate online drone course for beginners. You can use the code DansTube to save 10% over there and become a fearless drone pilot. I'll have some different menus that I'll be showcasing throughout this video, and the first menu is the profile menu, and I've got two tips and tricks in this area here. So basically, when you launch your drone, it should automatically take you into the camera view. So you'll actually see what the drone is seeing. What I'll get you to do is in the top left corner, press that back arrow to take you back to the main menu. Once you've done that, you'll see in the bottom there is a section that says profile. Click on that, and then you want to click on device management. Now in here, this is actually where you can see a bunch of different information relating to the drones that you have. I'm just going to go to a different drone here because I don't have mine updated, but if I go to the DJI Mavic 3, you can see that I've got a flight distance of 106 kilometers, flight time of 7.81 hours. You get some other information there that is sensitive to the aircraft, but this is a really good place just to see how much time you've used the drone for. It's also handy to know this information if you're going to sell the drone privately. People always ask that question. Now moving on to tip number two, and if you're using something like the DJI RC2, in this situation, this is where you'll really need to get your head around the offline maps. Now with the DJI RC2, it doesn't have internet connection, so you have to connect it to Wi-Fi or you have to hotspot it to your phone. So in this scenario here, I've hotspot to my phone, and then I go to that profile menu that I was talking about, and I click on the offline map section. Now, as long as you're connected to Wi-Fi or your phone or whatever it is that you're using, you can go into different parts of the map and you can actually download that map as an offline map. That means that when you are actually out on the field, you don't have to worry about then hotspotting to your phone. This is a really good thing to plan ahead of time, especially if you're going to check out a new location and you don't want to have to deal with connecting it to your phone or having any sorts of issues like that. You can, while you're at home on your Wi-Fi network, zoom into a different location on the map and then have that area downloaded so that you can utilize it when you're on the field. This is where it comes in handy to have that extra storage on the DJI RC2. We get 32 gigabytes of internal storage. You can also expand that with a micro SD card. And this is where it comes in really handy to be able to download offline maps. If you are interested in the Mini 4 Pro, you want to upgrade, you want to get your first drone potentially, and the Mini 4 Pro is, you know, in your crosshair, then I do have some awesome deals for Aussies. Through the D1 store, I've got exclusive subscriber bundles or Fearless Flyer bundles packed with everything you need as a drone pilot. You get the Fearless Drone Academy drone course, you get all those accessories you need, you get a combo with extra batteries, just a really, really great deal. But check that out. I've got a few for the Mini 4 Pro, a few exclusive combos, whether you want the standard batteries or the plus batteries. And then I've also got a bunch of other bundles as well available for different drones. So check those out as well. I've got so many cool bundles worthwhile checking out before you upgrade. And if you do want to save, you can use the code DansTube on their website. Save a little bit of extra money on the accessories and items, whatever it is that you're picking up through their website. If you are an international viewer, then I will also have links as well to check it out through DJI's website directly, that global shipping option, as well as Amazon. We're now going to move on to the flight menu. And this menu is basically when you see the camera feed. So you see the camera feed, you see the record button, you see everything else here. And for tip number three, I've got the pre-flight checklist. So in the top left corner, you'll see it says takeoff permitted. It might say something different there though, depending on if you've got satellites connected, if you have any errors or anything like that, it might display something slightly different. But if you tap on that, it'll actually bring up the pre-flight checklist or the flight checklist, and you can adjust the return to home altitude, max distance, and you can also format the SD card as well. So really handy to come in here if you need to format any internal storage or adjust any of those basic settings on the fly. So tip number four in the flight menu is the battery information. So in the top right corner, you'll actually see a little circular icon with a number inside of it. So that will basically indicate what percentage of battery you have. If you press on that while the drone is on the ground, you actually won't get any information. It'll say zero for everything. But once you launch the drone, you can then press on that battery icon and it'll give you some really important information at a glance. So you'll get the option to view when it will return to home. So it'll give me a time. It'll say 20 minutes until it's going to return to home, 24 minutes until it's a forced landing, and then 27 minutes until the battery is completely depleted and it falls out of the sky. So really important information to know. You obviously want to avoid the forced landing as well as the battery depletion. With the forced landing, you need to make sure you're over land. So that's why I always make sure that you return to home when you're around the 30% mark and fly locally before you land the drone. Moving on to tip number 5, which is the waypoint. On the left-hand side of the screen, you'll see that little arrow with a kind of squiggly line with little dots, and those little dots would be the waypoints. So you press on that, and we've got a few different options of how we can plan out waypoints. The first option is you can actually go into the map interface. You can actually do this when you're at home if you want to plan out a mission before you go somewhere. You can then just press on different points of the map to set up the waypoints that you're looking to have. You can also then set the point of interest. You can adjust everything, like where the waypoints are going to be facing, you know, the distance between everything, the height, everything. You can really customize it here with that map interface. The one thing here, though, is it is a little bit of a guessing game because you don't know exactly what it's going to look like when you're doing it through this map interface. And then you can actually launch the drone, go into the waypoint mode, and then while the drone is flying, you can actually add waypoints as you get to each location. So you can program one of the customizable buttons on the back, maybe make it the C1 button. So then it just literally, when you press C1, it's going to add a waypoint. Then you can fly to a new spot, C1, add a new waypoint. This allows you to really set up the framing and the distance and everything with more of a visual aid, because you can see exactly what the drone is seeing. And as you take each screenshot, it actually shows you the screenshot of the framing. So this is a really nice way to set it up, and probably the more preferable way to make sure that you're going to have an accurate mission that you're looking for. Moving on to tip number 6, and this is the attitude indicator. So you either have the map interface, or if you press the attitude indicator button, then it'll actually take you through to a new interface that looks similar to a compass. And then as you start moving around, depending on what one you have it set up, either you can have the drone as the focus or the controller as the focus. But you'll see as I start turning around, the icon will actually go from a blue when it's not pointing towards the drone to then a green when I'm facing the drone. So you can also see almost like a wind indicator. So as the drone's flying forward and back and left and right, you'll see that little line that will kind of move with the wind. It will let you know how the drone is working against the wind to keep the footage nice and stable. So you can see I'm kind of moving it at different times, and you can't really notice because the gimbal is obviously countering that, but that just lets you know how the drone is moving. And straight when you're flying in the air, this is very handy to know. Great information to know at a glance. Moving on to tip number 7, which is how to enable the focus track mode. Basically, all you have to do here is you have to draw a box on the screen. I'll show you another setting a little later on that will make it a little easier if you're having issues with that. But very easy to just draw a box over a subject. It'll bring up the focus track mode. And then from there, you can go between active track 360, point of interest, and the spotlight mode. Keep in mind that with active track 360 degrees or any active track mode, it needs to recognize either a person, a vehicle, or a boat. So the icon underneath the thing that you're tracking needs to come up as whatever it is that you're tracking. If it's just a general tracking point, it won't allow you to go into the active track mode. And also, while the drone's on the ground, you also can't enable the focus track mode. So you have to be in the air to then draw that box over the subject. Moving on to tip number 8, and this is relating to the touchscreen controls. So you can actually use the touchscreen to control your camera system, a very underrated feature that not enough people are using. But basically, all you have to do to enable this is you press and hold on the screen and then drag your finger either down or up, and that will start moving the camera. It's actually quite an organic way of moving the camera system. It just feels very natural. And if you're not liking the scrolling wheel, if you're finding that that's a little bit tricky for you, play around with the touchscreen controls. Some drones you can look left and right with this feature, so you can press and hold on the screen and then drag your finger left and right while you're still holding on the screen. And that will actually allow the camera to look left and right. Mini 4 Pro doesn't have that control. It's pretty much just up and down, but it does give you a lot of control here and makes it a lot easier for people who aren't enjoying the scrolling wheel. Tip number 9 is the Pro mode. So in the bottom right corner, by default, it will probably be set to auto for you. If you press on that auto little camera icon, it'll take you into the Pro mode. And this is where you can really customize everything that you want to do here. ISO, shutter speed, you can adjust the EV as well. You have some options as well to change like color profiles in here. So it is really nice. You can leave everything on auto if you want and just kind of see what the camera system is automatically doing. On the other menu, you can actually adjust the white balance. You can play around with resolution and frame rates. You can also choose the different storage options if you want to go with a SD card, a micro SD card, or go to the internal storage. You can adjust the color as well. So you can go normal, HLG, or DLogM. You got some coding format options and a few other things in here. So it makes it nice and easy to adjust things on the fly without having to go into another menu and then into the camera menu. So for tip number 10, we've got the autofocus and manual focus controls. So if you press AF on the screen, it will take you into MF, which is manual focus, but you can also press and hold on either AF or MF and then drag your finger up and down. And you'll see that it'll actually adjust the focus point. So you can have full manual control. If you really want to focus on something in the foreground or in the distance, you know, you can get a little bit of that bokeh effect. It isn't phenomenal with a drone because it is more of an infinite focus camera system. But for those little subtle shots, if you want to have something in the foreground and focus, you can do that. And you can do that by either pressing and holding and then dragging your finger up and down, or just pressing to go between manual focus and autofocus. I do find the pressing and holding gives you a lot more control though. Moving on to tip number 11, which is relating to the digital zoom option. And it's a similar story here when we're talking about the autofocus, manual focus, and then coming over to digital zoom. You can press where it says 1x and it will take you to 2x and then into 3x, depending on what mode you're in. But what you can also do is you can press and hold on that 1x, drag your finger, and it will go between 24mm, 48mm, and 72mm. So it will let you know the different focal length when you're zooming in and gives you some more control if you want to zoom into different, I guess, iterations of that zoom point. So, you know, you can go in between like 1.4, 2.3, like whatever it is that you need to go to, it can really make it a lot more subtle. For tip number 12, we've got the vertical video mode. Now, the icon above where it says 1x is how you change the camera orientation between either portrait or landscape. And the thing that's really cool about the vertical video mode is that you can capture 4K 60 frames per second HDR video. You can also enable focus tracking modes. You can go with, you know, waypoints, cruise control, any sort of tracking mode that you want it to go with, all of the quick shot modes. And it's just a fully fledged offering here where you can pretty much do everything you need to do, but while in the vertical mode. So that's basically how you enable it. And just some tips there that you can use pretty much all of the features. I'm pretty sure you can use every single feature that you can use in portrait as well as in landscape. So just keep that in mind. And now we're moving on to the safety menu. And this is the first time we're going into an actual menu system on the Mini 4 Pro. So in the top right corner, press those three dots and it will take you straight through to the safety menu. And now for tip number 13, this is the obstacle avoidance. This is how you enable obstacle avoidance and see all the different options that are available. So you either have the option to turn it completely off, you can have it as brake, so it'll brake when it notices an obstacle, or bypass, which means that it's going to continue following you or following a subject. And that's where you actually get the true active track 360 degree option, because it's going to continue following you and continue the path while it's tracking a subject. And then from there, you can adjust either normal or nifty mode with that active track when you're in bypass. Normal's the one I would recommend. Nifty can get a little bit sketchy, and it's definitely quite nifty. So just keep that in mind. If you want to have a bit more of a risk, nifty is the one to go with, but normal definitely is a lot more reliable and stable. Tip number 14 is the optimal return to home option. So this is a really cool one. Basically, you can have it as preset. So that means that it will go to a predetermined height. So in this scenario, it's 90 meters. It will go up to that height, the drone will, and then it will return to you, where optimal will basically figure out the environment, figure out where you're located. It will plan out an optimal route home to make sure that you're getting home as quick as possible. And with the AR features, being able to see the actual like augmented reality path is a nice one, because it will let you know what the drone's going to do, if it's going to go over trees, if it sensed what's in the environment. Optimal is definitely worthwhile to save you a little bit more battery life. And to add on to that, we're going to move on to tip number 15, which is the AR settings, which basically stands for augmented reality. We've got some really cool augmented reality options here with the Mini 4 Pro. And basically in the AR settings, you can disable them or enable them. And there's a few different options when we go into it. And this is something that is worthwhile getting your head around. The first one is the home point, and this is a huge one, especially when we're looking at the RC2, because if you don't have the offline maps and if you don't have, you know, your device, your controller connected to a phone or Wi-Fi, you're not going to know exactly where the home point is. It makes it quite hard and confusing on the map interface. But to see something in augmented reality that actually tells you that's the home point, that's where you took off from, is immensely helpful. It just takes away the worry of trying to figure out where you took off from. And especially in an area where it's densely packed and there's a lot going on, or it looks very similar, This is very handy. We've got the return to home route, which is the next option in the AR settings. And this is a really cool one because it lets you know the path that the drone's going to go on to return to home. It will let you know if it's going to increase in altitude, if it's coming down, if it's trying to move around things. It lets you know ahead of time what the drone is doing. And then as the drone comes in to land, it will actually point the camera down and it will show you a shadow of the aircraft to let you know where it's going to land, that you can prepare if there is anything underneath the drone. Tip number 16 is the battery information, and this is more of the advanced battery information. So I showed you the basic battery information when you're in the flight menu, but this one just gives you a few more details. So it's more of an advanced battery settings. But when you click on it, it'll actually show you the health of the cells. And this is really important because if a battery starts getting overloaded or if you're starting to have damage in the cells, it will let you know. So you want to see all those bars matching up. You want to make sure that the voltage isn't significantly different there. And it's really handy to have that information. And then from there, you can see the battery temperature, the voltage, the cells. You can also see the cycles as well. And that's where you find your battery SN. Which if you ever have to return a battery, that's probably the information they're going to need to know. Tip number 17, still in the safety menu, is the auxiliary light. And this is basically an LED underneath the drone that lights up whatever's below it. So if you're about to land and it's a low light scenario, or if it's getting close to dusk or whatever it may be, it gives you a chance to actually light up the area below. You can leave it on auto and the drone will sense when it's too dark and turn on that light. If you put it onto on, it will stay on at all times, even while you're flying. That's not ideal. Or you can turn it completely off if you don't want it on at all. I would say auto is the one to go with, but if you ever need to turn it on manually because it just hasn't sensed it or hasn't turned on, this is where you find that setting. And then the final setting for the safety menu is tip number 18, and this is the advanced safety settings. And this is relating to what happens when you lose signal with the controller, when you lose signal with the drone. So you go right down to the advanced safety settings, you press on that and it'll bring up a few options here. You can have a look through these, but the signal lost is the one you want to see here. You've got the option of return to home, descend, or hover. Now, descend is a bit of a worrying one because you don't know exactly where the drone is. Hover could be a good one in certain scenarios where you feel like you are going to get that connection back. Return to home is the ideal one because as the drone is returning to home, you'll probably then start getting the connection back. And then when it comes in close enough, you can then control it manually. So just keep that in mind, because if that is changed to something else, not a good scenario to be in. I would say return to home is the best one to go with though. So now we're moving on to the control menu, which is just on the right-hand side of the safety menu. And for tip number 19, we have got subject scanning. So for tip number 19, we've got subject scanning. This is a really cool feature. By default, it's not turned on. So if you turn your drone off, go out to a new location the day after, by default, it's going to be turned off again. Every single time, it's going to be turned off. So you need to manually turn this on. You can't turn it on when the drone is on the ground though. You have to launch the drone and then turn it on. My understanding is that it would take a lot of processing power to figure out all the things in the environment that it can start tracking. So this is something that you have to manually turn on, and this basically allows you to quickly and easily start tracking a subject. So you'll see as I start flying, there are a bunch of different pluses on the screen. It's recognizing all of the cars, and I can just tap on one and it will start automatically tracking that car and it will know that it's a car. That means that I can go into that active track mode. Like I mentioned earlier on for tip number 7, you know, if you draw a box and enable focus track by drawing on the screen, it might not recognize it as a active track ready subject. So it might just recognize it as something it's tracking as opposed to a person, a car, or a boat. So when it's in that tracking mode, that's when you can actually go into active track. That's why subject scanning is great, because it recognizes that's a car, I can start tracking it, and then you can chuck it straight into active track mode. Tip number 20 is just below the subject scanning, and it's focus track settings. So focus track is, like I said earlier on, focus track encompasses active track, point of interest, and spotlight. For this example here, it actually gives us control over active track 360 degrees, which is at the time of me doing this video exclusive to the Mini 4 Pro. And in here, we can adjust the outer and the inner circle. We can adjust how the drone is going to operate, how it's going to function. You can adjust the height, you can adjust the inner and outer radius, and a bunch of other settings in here. So this is where you can really get the most out of active track 360 degrees. I've got a full video dedicated to these settings and also active track 360 degrees. So check that out. That will be linked somewhere, or just go to my channel and check it out. Really good video to get your head around like how it all works, what these settings can actually do for you, and how to get the most out of your drone. And now for tip number 21, this is the gain and expo tuning. Now, this is a really handy setting. I don't know why they've called it gain and expo tuning. It's so misleading for a lot of people out there. It should just be clear and obvious the way they've worded it, but it basically gives you control over your aircraft and your gimbal control. So this is where you adjust all those gimbal movements as well as the movements of your aircraft. And you can do it for normal, cine, and sports mode. So that means for the three different modes, you can adjust it individually. Right down the bottom, you can reset it. So definitely play around with this. Reset it, worst case scenario, back to default. But you can control so much here. You can adjust the tilt smoothness, the max control speed. You can change how fast that gimbal moves. You can adjust the yaw speed as well, the actual aircraft, for how fast it kind of yaws on a plane. You can adjust so much in here. So I'd recommend playing around with all the different settings here, because again, you can just adjust it for the three different modes here. So you can adjust it for the sports, cine, and normal mode. So definitely play around with these and see what you can get out of it. I definitely prefer a smoother gimbal movement, because that basically allows you to not have that jerky, awkward movement as you're trying to control the gimbal movement. It just makes it look a little bit more cinematic, less jerky, and overall a lot more usable. Tip number 22 is the FPV mode, and this is really cool. The gimbal actually follows the movement of the aircraft and gives you more of an FPV style shot. So as you turn a corner, the camera will bank with it. It won't actually counteract that movement, and it'll almost look like it goes on an angle as it's turning around a corner. It creates more of a fast paced effect, I guess. It makes it look like you're almost like in a race car or in an FPV drone. And it just makes it unique, you know, so you can kind of figure out scenarios where this would be useful. For most scenarios, you want to stick in follow mode because it's more usable and, you know, it's just a prettier shot overall. But the FPV mode is something fun to play with and can give you a new effect. You know, if you want something a little bit more unique, you want to add in a bit more flair in your video, the FPV mode makes it a little bit more fun. Tip number 23 is the button customization. And this is where you can adjust a bunch of different settings. As you can see, there are so many options here for the scrolling wheel, for a combination of button and scrolling wheel, for just the buttons. There's just so much that you can do in here. You can make it so the right dial, for example, zooms in and out, which is very handy and super useful for a lot of people. You can make it so a button turns on the auxiliary light if that's something you want, or you can make it so it changes from portrait to landscape. Just a bunch of options here, so play around with that and see what works best for you and see what's most usable for you. And then tip number 24 is within the button customization, and this is how you enable cruise control mode, which is a feature exclusive to the Mavic 3, Air 3, and now the Mini 4 Pro range. Really cool offering. You basically just enable cruise control with the C1 button, and then straight when you're flying your drone, you can literally press the C1 button. So let's say you're flying off to the right hand side. As you're pulling the drone up, so you're increasing altitude, as you're moving along like a really cool coastline, you can then press that C1 button and it will just continue the exact same movements. Everything you've put into the drone, all those inputs, it will basically keep it locked. So it's cruising at that point, and very useful, extremely useful, and something that is a little underrated again. So definitely play around with cruise control. We're now moving into the camera menu, and for tip number 25, we've got the color options. So this is how you enable either the normal color mode, HLG, or D-Log M. This is how you get that 10-bit video option, and really useful. So if you're in D-Log M, it's a flatter profile, gives you so much more control later on in post-production. But you can also enable that color display assist. You've got normal, you've got HLG, and you've got D-Log M. So many options here. Definitely play around with it. And don't just get comfortable with normal, because if you want to really get the most out of the image, you're really going to want to play around with it in post-production. So HLG and D-Log M are worthwhile for that. For tip number 26, this is the color display assist. And like I just said before, D-Log M is a very flat profile. So in a lot of scenarios, when you're flying the drone, extremely flat profile, it's hard to kind of gauge what the framing's looking like, what the colors are looking like. So what you can do is you can enable color display assist. It'll make it a more usable experience for you as the user. You can see the colors a bit more vibrantly, but then the video that you're capturing is going to be that flat profile. So when you put it on the computer, it's not going to have all those colors. It's going to be flat. But while you're flying the drone, it gives you the option to display those colors so you can truly see what's going on. Tip number 27 is the histogram. This is something I always enable. It basically just lets you know how much light is coming into the sensor. So if it's overexposed, it will let you know. If it's underexposed, it'll let you know. You kind of want that perfect bell curve to let you know that everything in the frame is perfectly lit. The white balance is nice. It will just let you know what's going on. So if you adjust. Like I adjust the ISO here, you can see it's extremely blown out, very white, and it just crushes the histogram. You can't even see any information in it. But as I start to pull it back, you can see that the information starts coming in. That's what those little lines are. It's telling you there's information in the image. And as we start to lose that and we go to the extreme where it's just white everywhere, you can see we don't have as much information and we're not going to be able to play around with it in post-production as much. Tip number 28 kind of complements the histogram, and this is the overexposure warning. So this basically just gives you the zebra patterns and it will let you know what is overexposed. Sometimes it can be a little misleading because it will just tell you a cloud is overexposed because the cloud is very white. But just keep that in mind. You know, as you're adjusting ISO here, this is where you see, as I've shown you before, you can now tell it's overexposed. So all that information is getting lost and you're going to have a very, very tough time in post-production pulling that back. So overexposure warning is just a handy one to have. As long as everything's set up perfectly, you won't even really notice it. It's only if you have issues in like an auto mode, for example, it will just show you when things are overexposed. Tip number 29 is the frame guide. And this is a really cool thing. This is relatively new. It's not on many other drones, but it basically just gives you a guide for your framing. So if you want to go with that vertical video option, but you are capturing just normal kind of landscape stuff, it gives you a frame. So it actually lets you know, okay, this is where the 9x16 is, which is like TikTok, reel content, you know, YouTube shorts, any of that vertical video stuff. So it'll record the video for you as normal, so you can still use that video as you would. But then it gives you a guide. So that means that if you want the action to be right in the center and then you want to crop your video for socials, you can still do that. But instead of just putting all your eggs in one basket, going pure vertical video, then you can't use it as a landscape video as well. So this is really nice to have frame guide. You can even go with 1x1, which is the Instagram stories and Instagram post, which is nice to have. So this just lets you know this is the safe area where you're going to be able to post and it's not going to crop it on a social network or whatever it is. There's mobile options, film. So this is a really cool one and useful for a lot of people. Tip number 30 is the style. And this is actually a drop down option where you can adjust the sharpness and the noise reduction. So I can increase the sharpness up to 2. That's the max I can go. Or I can then, you know, pull it down. So with noise reduction, max can go to 1. Both of them can go down to -2. So if you want to remove the sharpness a bit, remove the noise reduction, you can. And if you want to pump it up, you can. Noise reduction maxes out at 1, sharpness maxes out at 2. Some people notice that with some of these camera systems, they add more sharpness to it. So sometimes it's nice to reduce the sharpness and then in post-production add some more. But again, this just gives you a bit more control to make it work with your workflow. And now we're moving on to the transmission menu. And for tip 31, this is how you view the interference. So if you're noticing that your range is terrible, this is how you view the interference in the area. So you can just come into this menu here, the transmission menu, and you can see exactly what's going on. So by default, it's going to be on auto and it's going to be on dual band, which is what I would recommend in most scenarios. But this will actually let you know what's happening in the area. So very handy to be able to see the interference. The drone has to be on the ground though. Keep that in mind. If your drone is flying, you can't see this. You have to be on the ground to access this little interface here. And then for tip number 32, this is how you change to the manual channel selection. So where it says channel mode, you can go from auto into manual. And then when that graph is, you can actually press and hold and drag your finger along to adjust the channel that you want it to be set on. This is really handy if you are having a lot of issues with interference. Like I said, in most scenarios, keep it on dual band auto, but this just lets you customize it if for whatever reason you're having major issues. Now we're moving on to the about menu and we're moving on to tip number 33. And this is how you check for updates. You can see there's a few different blue pieces of text there that you can press on to check for updates. You've got the fly safe data and you've also got aircraft firmware. You can press on those and it will manually search for updates if you're not getting prompted to update your drone or the fly safe data. And now for tip number 34 and the final tip of this video here, this is how you reset or clear your data. A really good thing to do if you are selling your drone, if you're concerned about any of that getting transferred over. You can reset all your settings. So if you've played around with all these settings and you're a bit confused with what you've done, you can reset it back to factory default or factory reset, which will just give you a fresh slate to start again. And then you also have the option to clear all data. So that will clear data in aircraft internal storage and SD card. It will clear aircraft logs, unlocking licenses, and other user data stored on the aircraft. So again, great if you're going to sell your drone or if you're sending it in for some sort of repair or something like that and you're a little bit nervous, you can clear everything off the drone. So anyway, those are my 34 must-know tips and settings or tips and tricks for the DJI Mini 4 Pro, a phenomenal drone with so much going on for it. Check out all my other videos on the channel to get the most out of this drone. And yeah, I really hope that you gained a lot from this. I love doing these tips and settings videos because I see how much help it gives people, how helpful it is for people, and how much people get out of it. But thank you so much for watching. Let me know if you've got any other tips, tricks, settings, anything like that in the comments below. Leave your feedback down there and I will chat in the comments and I'll talk to you in the next video. Peace.